Nehemiah chapter 4. Usually we have Bob does our intercessory prayer at this time, and we will pray in just a moment once again, but I can't replace what Bob does. You all know that, and so we do miss him, and I know we miss everybody that's not here today, but let's just keep in prayer, obviously, those folks that are not with us today, and let's pray for safety. I said this last week, and I'll say it again today just so you don't forget. I do enjoy snow, but I know this is kind of unusual and severe, and I also know that folks that have health conditions and concerns are obviously concerned in this weather, and I totally understand that, and so let's be praying for safety and for comfort and no more broken pipes and all those kind of things, and let's pray that God will be with those that are sick as well. Keep Dave Goon in your prayers. He had results given to him on Thursday. They're still checking his stomach out, so let's keep him in prayer still as well. And continue to bless our church. Let's ask God that he'll continue to bless our church and that he'll bless all the events and activities that take place here, and that the Lord will be glorified in and of these all these things. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Okay, let's do that as well. Let's go, Lord, in prayer then, shall we? Father, we love you and thank you again for the chance we have to be here this morning as a church family. We do pray, Father, for those who are not with us, that we wish that they could be, but we understand, certainly. Father, I pray that you would be with Barb Wilson even now. Give the doctors wisdom, that you would just touch her, and Lord, may everything come out well. We also pray, Lord, that you would just do these things for your honor and glory. I pray, Lord, for Dave Goon, Lord, just touch his body as well. Lord, just continue, Lord, to bless him and his dear wife. I pray, Father, for our church and for all the needs of our church and for the desires and goals that we have, that, Lord, that you would be magnified and lifted up in these things. I pray that you would, Lord, just continue, Lord, to use this place as a lighthouse for you. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible up to Nehemiah 4, and then if you look at the back of your bulletin, theme verse for the last few weeks, as looking at the idea of growing, has been Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 18, and it says there is where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. We mentioned about 2 weeks ago the idea of how that verse, how important it is that we understand that central to everything else that we discuss, whether it be about this topic or whether it be about anything else, is that God's word will be central to everything that we say and everything that we do. For without God's word being central to what we do, then we're just another club meeting on a happens to be God's day, Sunday, and we can do anything else, anywhere else that we're talking about. And so we must recognize that the revelation of God's word must be central to who we are at Berean Baptist Church. Now, some of you say, well, Pastor, you've said this several times. I'm going to keep saying it because this is vital to the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about in general, but specifically for us, this must be central. I'm not opposed to programs, not opposed to whatever else you want to call it, but no matter what the program might be, if the program's not centered, not foundationally, if you will, stuck, fixed in God's word, then there's a problem with that program. All right, I don't care what the program is. We need to have, as the center of that program, God's word. And so I keep saying that because as we're discussing these different ideas and today we're talking about fellowship, even our fellowship needs to be centered in and of God's holy word. We just partake of the Lord's table. And even the Lord's table, as you read in the New Testament, the idea was of fellowshipping around the table because of the goodness of who God is. There's no doubt in a group even this size that we all have friends that are believers in Christ that have different vocations than what we do and different hobbies. And without the commonness that we have or the link that we have in Jesus Christ, we would never really be friends with that group or that person. Well, what bonds us? It's fellowship in Jesus Christ. And so it is vital that we understand that God's word must be central in everything we do and in everything we say. It's what, you know, I heard a preacher one time say this. the church will come together on Sunday, and they'll be glad to see everybody, and that's good to do. and we'll shake hands and everything else, and then we'll discuss what happened this week. Did you see what happened to the Buckeyes? You know, and we'll talk about that and this and everything else. And did you see the game and that? And again, in and of itself, nothing wrong with those things. But if one person says, hey, did you see this devotional that we were reading this week? And it's almost like there's just silence. And what's happened is that we've almost guised our fellowship or masked it in something that it's not truly supposed to be. I'm not opposed to discussing what's going on. I'm not opposed to discussing sports. You all know I'm a sports fan. But what I'm saying is that at the local church, there should be more to our fellowship than just those things. Oh, we can discuss hobbies and nothing wrong with that. But that shouldn't be the growing point of our relationship. The growing point should be the Word of Jesus Christ. I was reading this week a pastor, I think somewhere in the South, and he was talking about he has challenged his people, it's a great idea, to memorize Scripture. And he said there was a lady in his church in her 80s, and she says, Pastor, I've got 12 new verses memorized. And he said, you're never too old to grow in Christ. And I said, amen to that. That's good. You know? And we have to get ingrained into our hearts and mind that we're never too old to grow in Christ. Whether you've been a believer for 5 hours, 5 years, or 50 years, we can, with His strength, obviously, grow in Him. I don't know many people that have the entire Bible memorized. I had a professor that had the Old Testament memorized. Had another professor that had the New Testament memorized. But outside of those two men, I don't know of anybody that has the whole thing from cover to cover memorized. And even the one that had the Old Testament memorized, he said, I've got it memorized in Hebrew and in English. He says, and I don't know what it means. He said, I have a lot more to uncover. He said, God's been gracious to teach me this much, but I have a whole lot more to learn. And I remember thinking as a young student, wow, you know, that's a humbling thing for someone to say and a challenge for me as a young person to continue to dig in the riches of God's Word. I'm saying all this for us to understand that there needs to be spiritual depth to our fellowship. And there needs to be a desire for us to grow in His Word. We won't turn there, but in 1 Samuel 3, verse 1 says this, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and it says this, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. What a sad statement that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Sometimes I feel like that's the way it is in our culture today. Even when it's mentioned, it's not exactly in a gleaming light, is it? Well, while that's a problem, I believe the greater problem is that it's rare in the mouths of God's people in these days. In fact, if a believer speaks up, it's almost like, wow, that's news. And it shouldn't be. It should be what naturally springs from our well of life. Amos 8, 11 and 12 says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. What a concerning set of scripture there in Amos 8, 11 and 12 that says, you'll look for it, it'll be like a famine. God's word will not be there. Oh, I pray that this country doesn't get to that point again. We are blessed to have God's word. We just mentioned the new Bibles and the pews, and we have it on devices and everything else, and praise God for that. But more than just having access to it, does our heart access it? And then do we apply it to how we live every single day? We need that. I need that. There should be no day that goes by that we don't access God's word and says, Lord, and say, Lord, I need to hear from you. I'm dependent upon you. I need your strength. We must come to that place of dependency in Him and His Word. And even as that applies to our fellowship, I mentioned this, I think, last week, but how many of you have large families? How many of you have smaller families? Okay, kind of. How many of you don't have families at all? You refuse to raise your hand at all. Okay, very good. All right, and we've all got families. And some of our family we get along with. Some, not so much. Some we say, oh, that's my cousin and uncle. Others we're like, But they're still family. We don't always agree. We may not see eye to eye, but there's one common bond. That's, well, they are my cousin. They are my, you know. But do you realize this? The bond we have in Jesus Christ is His perfect blood. There's no error in that. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, as we come together and we here at Bringer are the family of God here, if you hang your spiritual hat, as I say here, this is our spiritual family, we're not always going to agree on everything. I use this illustration all the time too. You know, if we decide, and we're not doing this, but if we said, all right, we're going to change color of the carpet. Some of you would say, carpet's fine. Some of you would say, I don't like this color. Some of you would say, I think it should be lighter. Some of you would say, I think it should be darker. Some would say, why do carpet? I mean, there would be all kinds of opinions. We wouldn't all agree on what color or if there's carpet. But the sad thing is, there are fellowships across the country that would split because they couldn't agree or even agree to disagree on carpet. And what's happened is the fellowship is lost, the unity is lost, and as a result, they've missed the point of the local church. The point of the local church is not necessarily just to have carpet. It's to spread the gospel to those that have never heard the name Jesus Christ. It's to continue to be a light for Jesus Christ in our community and all abroad. And yet we've got churches that are dwindling and losing their goal over things such as carpet. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Again, we may decide it and say, all right, there it is. There's a color. Well, I don't like it. Okay. You know? We don't always have to be in complete agreement. I'm talking about something silly right now, but you understand my point. Is that it's almost as if, well, that's it. I'm done. We can't agree on carpet. No, listen. For the sake of unity and fellowship, all right, I don't like that color, but I can see where it goes with this and this, so let's just move on. Okay? Now, let me just mention this in passing as we keep going here. Some will do this. All right, fine. But they will never let it go, and a root of bitterness will take hold in their heart. And there's nothing to be said for a while, and then the next thing comes up. Hey, we should change these lights. I don't know. I'm just, you know. Well, do you know the last time? And all of a sudden, here comes the carpet again. Where did that come from? Well, someone allowed a root of bitterness to get in, and as a result, it begins to rip open. You know, we've got a lot of snow and ice, and you all know that. Have you seen some of the potholes around? How many of you hit one? My whole car went in one the other day on, what's that street over there? Boulevard? Yeah, there's a few there that, yeah. Need a tank to get through, or whatever that thing is called. Anyway, they don't form by large glaciers. They form when a little bit of water gets in a crack, and then it freezes, it expands, something hits it, boom, you know, and then a little bit more water gets in another little crack, and it gets in there, freezes, expands, breaks, you know. And next thing you know, we're growing potholes by the day, by little itty-bitty things. And if we're not careful, potholes, so to speak, will form in our hearts spiritually. Little things that we never ask the Lord to help us with, and we just let them go as if there's nothing to it. And next thing you know, it's driving a wedge in relationship. And as a result, becomes a major fracture in our heart. So growing in fellowship is an important concept that we need to have. Last week we discussed in our Bible class and mentioned it briefly in worship that we are to be lively stones. As as we fellowship, the Lord is to cement our hearts together. Think about this for a minute. If you're building a cinder block building, you don't just stick the blocks there and say, well, I hope they stay. You know, my sons play with Legos a lot. Now, they snap tight. But if you're going to build a building, you want it to be more than just snap tight. You want it, something to be solidly together. And what I'm saying is that we, as a lively stone of the local church, need to have the love of Christ to cement us together for the cause of Christ. Why is that so important? It's important because if we're going to go forward for the cause of Christ, there needs to be unity in fellowship in His Word. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4 says this, verse 1, but it so happened when Sanballat, he's the opposition, heard that that we were building the wall, rebuilding the wall, he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Remember I said last week, opposition will always come when you attempt to do the work of the Lord. It's going to happen. Now, that doesn't mean we should walk around with like a, you know, with like E or with the cloud overhead. Oh, here it comes. No. But at the same time, it shouldn't catch us off guard when this opposition comes. Verse 6, so we built the wall. The entire wall was joined together up to half its height. They got half the wall built up to halfway high. For the people had a mind to work. Now, it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and look what it says, and create confusion. Confusion will do more damage in the work of the Lord than almost anything else. I think gossip is probably another big one too. But confusion will do it. And I think it's even started by gossip. Did you hear it? Well, no, I heard this. And actually, there's confusion. This is one of the reasons why I've handed you out a lot of literature and information, because I always say, you know, if we just tell folks what the goal is, where we're heading, then we'll always have an idea that the boat's going that way. Let's follow that. Even if you get lost, I know we're going that way. Let's just go this way, you know. Just keep going this, you know, whatever direction that is. Just head that way. Why? Because as the Lord guides us as sheep, I was telling Dan this morning, sheep need a shepherd, not a cattle driver. The Bible doesn't compare us to cows. He compares us to sheep. You drive, you push, you force cows. Shepherd leads sheep. Come on. Let's go this way. And that's what God does for us. He leads us. By the way, I'm glad He does that. I'm glad He does that because He leads us to this, Psalm 23, this table set, this pasture. And we know from shepherds that once He would do that, the lead shepherd would leave the sheep there with the under shepherd, and he would move on and find the next place of feeding and the next best way to get there. All the while, they're feeding in protection and peace. And he returns and says, okay, we're going to go back. We're going to go again through the valley of the shadow of death. It's going to be a tough trail, but it's worth the price to get there. Trust the shepherd, and the sheep trust the shepherd. What a beautiful picture of what the Lord does for you and for me. What a beautiful picture. And so we see here that this takes place. Verse 11, and our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come in their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. So it was when the Jews who dwelt near them came that they told us 10 times, for whatever place you turn, they will be upon us. So look at verse 13 he does. Therefore, Nehemiah says, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had brought their plot to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. And so it was from that time on that half of my servants were to construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and wore armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so with one hand they worked a construction, with the other hand they held a weapon. Now what I want you to see in those few verses is this, is notice the unity and the fellowship there. You say, well, remember, if all this is happening, and back in verse 6, Nehemiah says they had a mind to work, and then the opposition came, and now it's almost as if they even became more strong. Friends, in between the words here, there is fellowship and unity and commitment that's taking place. There's trust, and all of these things are, if you will, cementing them together for the cause that God has placed upon Nehemiah's heart. Praise God for the picture. Verse 17, where it says that even while the ones were working, they had a trowel in one hand and their other hand on the sword. I mean, they were ready to get the task done. They're committed, completely committed. You know, what we need today is we need believers that are completely committed to the task that's at hand. I mean, completely sold out. When I coached basketball, I know Jamie here, he's a wrestling coach at Delaware Christian. I know we talked enough to know that listen, when we coach, it's not, listen, if you can kind of practice, that's fine. If you can't, don't worry about it. That's not work for me. I know it work for you. Listen, if you can kind of get in shape, it'd be good. If you can't, I understand. It's tough, you know. I mean, it's just not an option. You know, for me, I was extreme. I'd say, listen, from October the 15th until March the 1st, you're mine. If you've got a vacation, it's not an option. If you get sick, take some Tylenol. You know, you need to be here. I said that kind of tongue-in-cheek, but I want you here. I want your grades proper. Be in class. Study hard. Be at practice. And unless there's a death in the family, there's no exceptions to being in practice in the game. None. Zilch. Can't commit to that, I understand. Have a good day. Go watch cartoons in the afternoon. And I'll see you in the game's cheering. That was my pitch to people. My pitch to kids where I need you completely committed. If you got friends go to the mall and go skating, it's great. You'll see them in March. If you can't handle that, I understand. And don't play. You say, man, that's a bit extreme. But see, that's the commitment, the picture that the Word of God gives us believers that we should have towards what Christ has for us. He has paid it all. All to Him I owe. I have the privilege of serving the King. I have the privilege of worshiping in spirit and truth the King. I have the privilege of honoring Him with my heart and soul and words and mind. Completely, I have a privilege to do that to the King. And so the question then is why are we not willing to say, Lord, it's all yours. My home, my possessions, my time, it's all yours. Whoa, wait a minute, though. Is what He has more important than what I have to do? Absolutely. And so, as we read this, as you see this, Nehemiah leaves the king, the comforts of the palace where he was the cupbearer, to go across to this desolate and destroyed city and says, God wants me to rebuild these walls. Are you with me? Here's the plan. Let's do it. And boy, outside of the opposition, the people were willing to work. And they were committed. There was fellowship. There was commitment levels. I mean, it was all there. Verse 19 says this. Then I said to the nobles, the rulers, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. He says, all right, and if there's a problem, you'll hear the bugle play. And they probably practiced. You know, and here they came. Good. Everybody knows what that sound is then? We're good to go. Be ready. Think about this in Psalm. In John, I'm sorry, it says, my sheep know my voice. When I coached basketball, I refused to use a whistle in practice because I wanted the kids on my team to know my voice in practice. And I had kids that played for me for 4 or 5 years, and they would hear one voice in a gym packed with fans and family and everybody else, and everybody's screaming. They say, you know, it's funny. Now that I've been playing for you for 2 years, the only voice I hear in the gym is yours, coach. I remember I had quit coaching, and the guys were out one day on the field, and I was still the principal there at the school, and I walked out and went, oh! And 12 heads turned. 12 heads. That was my basketball team, all 12 of them. Coaches called us, you know. I know that whistle anywhere. Why did I do that? Because I wanted to have them on the same page when adversity came during a game. When things didn't quite go our way, I need to see them in the eyes and say, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. Not just a game of basketball. Do you know the Good Shepherd's voice? Do you know when the storms of life are raging, do you hear the still small voice? Verse 21, so he labored in the work, and half the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. Same time also I said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem, that they may be our guard by night and a working party by day. I mean, these guys were just close. So neither I, my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard followed me. It took off our clothes, except that everyone took them off for washing. I mean, this was organized, tight fellowship. And so I use this passage for us to understand just the commitment and the unity and the fellowship that just took place into this. Let me give you just a few thoughts this morning on why is fellowship so important? Well, number one, obviously we're going to fellowship together. It means you got to spend time together. Kind of makes good sense, doesn't it? You know, if you're going to, I would make my basketball team eat lunch together. We would go on overnight trips together. I wanted them around each other, trust each other, know each other. All right. Nehemiah encouraged them to bond. We also need to care for one another. Now, we do a good job of this. I'm talking to our church family now. We need to care for each other. Hey, how's so-and-so doing? Have you called them? Have you dropped a note? Hey, I heard you're having a rough week. Hey, I'm praying for you. And let's make sure that if we say that, we're actually are praying for them and not just praying for them, you know. We need to care for each other. That's a good thing that the body of Christ should do is care for one another. Scripture says in James 5:16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We also need to pray for each other. We need to pray for each other. Now, I don't know if you have a directory. Jolene and I have been working on trying to get one out, but there's been a lot going on right now. We're hoping to get one out soon. I encourage you, when you get that directory, make a prayer list out of it. Well, I don't know so-and-so very well. Then pray for them. Whether you know them or not, if we're going to be family, the family of God here at Berean, then let's pray for each other by name on a daily or weekly basis. You say, well, I can't do all that in prayer in one day. Well, then break it down by the day. Monday, I'm going to pray for this group. Tuesday, this group. Wednesday, this group. I mean, listen, let's make this matter of prayer a priority in our life and praying for each other a priority in our life. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. We need to sharpen each other. This kind of goes along with the whole idea, but what if our conversation was about the things of the Lord? You know, I've got friends that, just like me, are big basketball fans, and every once in a while we get in an argument over who's the best player of all time. It's a fun conversation, especially now that the kids are getting a little bit older. You know, LeBron's about, you know, no. Don't ever use that word with the same sentence as Michael Jordan. You know, we go back and forth on that kind of stuff, and again, it's a conversation to have. But why don't we have that kind of conversation about Bible verses, Bible truths, theology? I'm not talking about arguing about it. I'm talking about just discussing it. Well, maybe it's because we don't spend enough time in God's Word understanding it for ourselves to have a discussion about it. Many people will spend, you know, hours sifting through the local paper or the news to see what's going on and the stats, whatever it may be, you know, whatever hobby it is. It doesn't make a difference whether it's sports or not. But yet, you know, I'll read two or three Bible verses and then we're done. I was listening to a preacher this past week, and he made a comment. He said, I encourage you, and when he said it, there you hear some chuckles in the crowd at first, and then he realized that he was serious. He said, I encourage you to read the book of Exodus at one sitting. He said, it should take you between 2.5 to 3.5 hours to get through it in one sitting. And you heard the chuckles begin to die as he realized he wasn't kidding. And he said this, and then there was just dead silence. He said, you know, everybody in here will go to watch a movie that's 2.5, 3 hours long, or a ball game, and think nothing of it. But yet when I said to read a book of the Bible that's about 2 hours long or longer to read, we thought it was absurd. Where's our priorities? Now, I watched that message recorded, and it still hit my heart, you know? Point being is this, is that as the whole theme of this message is growing in God's Word, how important is God's Word to us? One of the things I love about the name of our church is it's Berean. Back in Acts, where it talks about the Bereans were more noble because they proved whether those things were so. Well, are we doing that on a daily basis in our own hearts and minds? It's hard for us to have fellowship in Christ if we're not fellowshipping with Christ on our own. So, just a few thoughts this morning then from Nehemiah. And we need to spend time together. We need to care for each other. We need to pray for one another. We need to sharpen one another. Are we doing those things? Are we seeking to fellowship together? And the reason then is that then when it comes time to minister together, we can get something accomplished. Whether it's in the nursery, worship team, vacation Bible school in July, whenever it may be. All right, you know, we've had time of fellowship. Now it's time to work together. Because remember Nehemiah 4:6, the people had a mind to work. That was the thing. Our mind is to spread the gospel. All right, that's it. That's above everything else. Make disciples of Christ, or making disciples of Christ. So with that in mind, we fellowship for that end. We don't fellowship for the end of, well, it was just fun, although it should be fun. We fellowship in Christ to make disciples of Christ, who are in turn making disciples of Christ. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your Word and for the truths that are in it. Father, I pray as we looked at some passages this morning that you would speak to our hearts, challenge us, stir us to be obedient to you in this matter of fellowship. Lord, not just for fellowship's sake, but for the sake of drawing unity and commitment so we might be faithful servants for you to make disciples who are making disciples. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I know we're family. We know each other. Maybe someone's here today, they don't know Christ, your personal Savior. If that's you, if you don't know Christ, your Savior, if you just slip your hand up quietly, I'd be happy to pray for you. I will not embarrass you. I promise you in any way, shape, or form. Would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. Just slip your hand up quietly. Anybody like that this morning? Maybe you're here and you say, I'm saved, but this matter of fellowship, I need to be in the Word more so I can help sharpen other brothers and sisters in Christ so we can get the gospel effectively communicated. Would you pray for me? The Lord spoke to me this morning in some area. Would you just pray for me, Pastor, this morning? Anybody at all this morning? Yes. Any others? Let's just pray quietly, shall we? That God will help us to fellowship with Him so we might fellowship with others to build the bond of Jesus Christ together.